Good afternoon. Well, it's actually morning when we're doing our first morning recording of the Jet Blast podcast. So we're in season two. We're along about episode 13 or 14. Forgive me if I bungled that up, but we're glad to be getting back on track with you guys. We've had to take a little bit of time away to enjoy some end of school year festivities with college kids graduation, high school kids graduation, lacrosse games, and all the fun things that happen as us parents. So here we are. And Andy, what is Michigan like today?
Thanks, Nathan. Michigan is stormy and muggy right now. So typical, you know, crap in the summertime. And lacrosse, Charles just finished his season. So last night we did the party and the adults played the kids. And so I'm happy to report that we beat the we beat them 3-1, so it's pretty cool.
You didn't get injured though, right?
No, a couple of parents did along the way. it was all good. I'm still young enough, I think I can handle running back and forth, but it was tough. Yeah.
How old again were they, Andy?
What's that?
How old again? You beat the who's?
We beat the 8-year-olds.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
This conversation in a couple of years and see if you still beat the 12-year-olds.
Well, I saw the 14-year-old teams were out there, and so I'm like, whoa. So,
I got a trip that week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's about it. Just working and enjoying our morning podcast. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's different for sure.
Wow. How about you,
Lee? Lee's on remote today. She's not in her normal lair.
I'm not in my normal lair. I've run away from all of the rain in Texas because it refuses to stop raining. Did have a 4-hour delay yesterday because of the rain, but
it's like Noah get the boat rain, right?
Oh my gosh. the dams are full. There's some flooding happening. It's a little crazy. Happens every few years. So here we are again. So why not a nice flood along with the ice storm? We'll see what comes next. I don't know, whatever, but I did. I got the daughter graduated. I now have a graduate getting ready for college. Wow. Yeah, it's freaky. It's just freaky. So I always say my aviation career really started the year I was pregnant with Alex. So, I mean, I ended up in aviation in an accident in 2000, but in 2003 was when I started some of the NCAT stuff, which really started and is what has kept me in aviation. So that's how I kind of gauge. So right. I've had a whole kid in there, and now she's graduated and going on. And I think, Jim, I've known you that whole time too. So really excited today to have Jim Huntoon with us. If anybody has been paying attention to scholarships, wanting to get aviation maintenance, anything along those lines, and you've probably seen Huntoon somewhere, because that is definitely one of the things he's passionate about, as well as the industry as a whole. But Jim, thank you for joining us this morning. Even though you don't drink coffee, I'm still trying to figure that out. I'm on my second cup.
We'll forgive you.
I'll make it.
Well, I used to start my day with a Mountain Dew and a banana every day for probably the first 15 years of my aviation career, and I finally elevated to just drinking vitamins every day. So,
a Mountain Dew and a banana. Holy crap.
Is that elevated or
well, relegated? Yeah, one way or the other. I got wiser, amazingly enough.
Right. That's funny. It's hilarious. That's hilarious. So, Jim, we, again, like Lee said, we're very glad to have you here. And so for folks who don't know you, tell us a little bit about Jim Huntoon and how you got into aviation and what you're doing right now.
Well, that's a long journey, but or a long time ago. I guess, like many of us, when I was a really small person, a young person, I had a dream of being a pilot. Don't really know why. I'm not really sure where that came from. But there was something that was drawing me to aviation. And early on in my life, I really didn't have anybody that was involved with aviation until one of my older brothers went into the Navy and was tied into a naval aviator and tied into that career, and actually was in for an entire career with the Navy. But I was also very blessed that I had a couple instructors in the small town of Michigan that I grew up. One happened to fly, was a pilot, was a corporate pilot on the side, and flew for Air America back in the day, which is an interesting story. And then also one that happened to be involved with Embry-Riddle, who went to Embry-Riddle, was an instructor at Embry-Riddle. And once these two people found out that I had an aviation interest, they kind of, you know, grabbed me by the wings and said, here, let's guide you a little bit. And that really was, you know, I owe my foundation in a lot of ways to them, because they were the influencers when they found out that I had that interest. Fast forward, I went to Embry-Riddle, Daytona Beach, which I'm a very, very proud Embry-Riddle graduate, both undergrad and master's, and give a lot of my time and effort to a lot of amazing students that Embry-Riddle produces and, you know, throughout aviation, obviously Nathan as well. And, you know, we've got many of us in, on our maintenance committee that are Embry-Riddle grads, and take a lot of pride in that, because there's many of us in business aviation and throughout aviation that have went through an Embry-Riddle door somewhere, whether it's military or two campuses. It led me into and gave me the opportunity to get into business aviation. At the end of the day, I've been, I guess, what are we going on, 28 years, give or take, somewhere around that race. And I've always had, though, from the time that I graduated Embry-Riddle, I've always had kind of a just a desire to be around other aviation people and enthusiasts. Sure. And I've always believed in, I think I joined my first alumni council 2 years after I graduated Embry-Riddle, and I started doing college fairs at Tarrant County and other places when I started working at Simi-Flight in Dallas, Texas. And I started seeing how much fun it was just to be around other people or other parents who are looking at their kids to, you know, in their aviation passion. And I thought about the two people who really kind of helped me, you know, start my career, and thought, I need to do that for others, right? Because I mean, I truly was considering myself blessed that I was in starting out my career with a great bunch of people at Simi-Flight. And so I started kind of giving of myself because it fulfilled me in ways that other things didn't. Sure. Fast forward in that, and in when you look at, you know, Simi-Flight led me to Gulfstream about year 10 in my career, or somewhere around there. And that's when I started really kind of seeing the bigger picture. You know, when you think about what we do in business aviation, it is such a large group, but a very small family of people. Mm-hmm. But it's an amazing group of people that are willing to give their time, money, and effort to really help other people. And somewhere in that time frame, I started getting introduced to a lot of fine people like yourselves. We're all similar age, and we're at different points in our career, but we start intersecting with others that were part of NBAA. And for me, it was, I want to say it was Mr. Delahousie, Pat, that is, you know, obviously not only a dear friend, but a great mentor to me. Mm-hmm. And Pat, when he got to know me, said, Jim, I think you would be a great fit to join us on the maintenance committee. And that's kind of where my scholarship days really did start. I was still doing stuff with Embry-Riddle, which I always have. I was still helping students, you know, in my own way. But the actual scholarship and mentorship part of doing what I've been doing for the last, oh, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 years, whatever it's been, really started as I joined the maintenance committee. And right. Through that, you know, we have built, and it's been a committee effort. It's been a lot of people giving their time and effort as well, and a lot of very generous companies providing scholarships as well as financial resources for students to attend scholarships. But we've built a very successful program that's been going since 2005. And I think off the top of my head, since 2005, we've given out over 500 plus courses through that program, scholarships that all of us that are doing what we do, that are involved in some way of giving our time and effort, have seen the results. We all know of scholarship recipients who now work with us in business aviation, who started their careers in business aviation because they received that scholarship, or they met a mentor at a maintenance function, or they went to another NBAA function. And that, to me, I've often said there's, you know, challenges sometimes when you're in a volunteer group, because we all have our day jobs, we have our families, and, you know, we're busy people. We have other things going on in life besides taking our own time to help people that we may never meet or may never, you know, sure, say anything to you. But it is such a giving, it's a reward when you're able to do that and you see the results and you actually, you know, every once in a while you'll get surprised and one of those people that you haven't talked to in several years will reach back out and say, hey, Jim, I need some, you know, input on this. I got this opportunity to go fly, you know, a Gulfstream 650 and I'm currently flying a 757. What would you do? Like, well, that's right. A really good question, James. Like, yeah. There's an individual I'm speaking of that you both know that has that opportunity.
I was just about to say, that sounds like somebody I think I know.
Yeah. James, that is correct.
I was about to say that.
And he's had many opportunities like that, you know, starting off as a technician. And I guess that's where, and I think over the years, we have really made an impact, though, in the maintenance side of this, as we've given out so many courses to help so many on that end. And we've opened doors. I think the one thing that's important for all of us is that it's not just about, you know, providing a financial resource or providing a scholarship. It's actually taking the next step in that mentoring piece, which is actually helping them see the opportunities, reaching out through our network. I've seen firsthand over many years how this network of people, we have absolutely been able to help people come into our industry because of the contacts that we all have. And we all open doors. We all have different trap lines and in places that we can go when we meet good quality people. Right. And we know that we need them in our industry. Our industry is needing, you know, additional technicians and additional people in business aviation. And it's up to us, really, I think, as we kind of go into the other ends of our careers to go ahead and reach out and open those doors to do the things that we can do to help others. Probably about a year ago, I had was asked by a good friend, Laura Scanlon, with EJM to assist with the Women in Corporate Aviation Scholarships. Mm-hmm. And once again, as a person who went to Embry-Riddle, where, I don't know, I think the guys outnumber the females probably 10 to 1, if I had to guess.
Or 12.
Yeah, or 12, yes, and that's very possible. But when you look at our industry as a whole, you know, certainly diversity is something that, you know, we've been trying to change in our industry. Right. We certainly have been trying to be more inclusive because our industry needs everybody, and there's so much opportunity for everybody in our industry. But the Women in Corporate Aviation Scholarships, which I've been part of for just a short period of time, it's really awesome to see, you know, a network of women trying to help other women in business aviation, trying to open the doors and again, and maybe in some ways break down the ceilings and really just provide opportunity. I'm really blessed. I have a daughter that is literally a rocket scientist, and watching her career as she's developed and seeing some of the challenges and obstacles that she's overcome has inspired me to go, yeah, I want to help. I want to help this group and be part of this effort, because once again, there's so many amazing ladies in business aviation that are doing so many awesome things, and they deserve every opportunity that any of the rest of us do. It really doesn't make a difference in my mind. So like I say, that's kind of a short driver, or a long-winded answer to a short question.
Go ahead, Lee.
And I did want to say, I was going to figure out a way to segue into your favorite Embry-Riddle grad, because we did need to touch on the fact that Jim's daughter is literally a rocket scientist who has like the coolest job. And when you talk about networking, mentoring, and then also taking advantage of it, because Jim, I have two kids who have zero interest in aviation, none, nothing, no, nothing, nada. So the fact that you're able to share that passion and your network with your children and see where it's going to go. I mean, that to me, that has been awesome to watch over the past few years with your daughter. I was like, my kid's none. So I was like, that is so cool. You've been able to share that with your daughter. So cool. Kudos to you. And oh my gosh, I can't wait to see what else she does. We haven't had an update on her in a while. We'll have to get an update a little bit later.
It is pretty amazing to see her actually travel in a business aircraft, which she's done a decent amount of here recently, and get pictures of her as she's flying. I'm like, okay, you've surpassed your dad very quickly, which is an awesome thing. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yep. That is very cool. Well, we may have to have her on. She can talk about rockets. You know, we get a big milestone with those guys. We could maybe have her as a guest, Lee, and she could come in and tell us about all the fun rocket science thing.
Well, she could, depending upon what she's allowed to say. They're a little secretive these days right now. Give it a little more time till they're doing the commercial space flight.
That's true. And rightfully so, right? I mean, I get it. I totally get it. It's pretty cool. And you know, I don't want to gloss over one thing that Jim said. I mean, you know, the maintenance committee giving away 500 plus scholarships to date. I mean, look, you know, between Jim and another guy, Steve King, that some of you may know, I'm telling you, and there's been plenty of others involved, so y'all don't send me hate mail about it, but those two guys particularly, I'm telling you, we were doing scholarships at the maintenance committee before scholarships were cool. We were doing mentorships before mentorship was cool. Before, you know, all the rest of the committees had programs and pathways and big, you know, mentorship networks, this small group of folks started up something that really is the foundation for what you see across the whole association now. So, I have to say huge shout out to all the work that everybody's done, all the past chairs, Jim and Steve particularly, on the scholarships. You know, we've had people do golf scrambles, silent auctions, flight departments giving away courses that they're not going to use because they got new airplanes, just all kinds of things that you really can't even, you just have to be there to experience it and see these young people receive anything, come to that conference, being put in front of the group, and then people going to them like a moth to a flame saying, hey, so what are you going to do after you take this course, right? And it almost overwhelming to them, freaks them out, right? They lock up.
It's
pretty cool.
I mean, so Jim, just kind of, I would say a very conservative number is probably a value of close to $5,000 per scholarship. So you're looking at a value of probably close to $2.5 million worth of scholarships.
Yeah, actually, you could probably take that number and multiply it by two or three.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. I was trying to be pretty conservative with it, but very conservative would be $2.5 million worth of scholarships.
Yeah. And Nathan, you're right. I mean, when you look at the program, I've had a chance to see Mr. King, Steve here just recently as well.
Yeah,
and
I know.
And we smile when we think about the challenges that we had, because the one thing that a lot of people don't understand about scholarships and that, yes, there's a lot of people that are willing to help in some way, but it is really impactful. We go out and we go to local schools. We talk about business aviation. We talk about the opportunities. And we go, and a lot of us adopt similar schools. I'm an Embry-Riddle person. I live outside Daytona Beach, so I'm able to travel and go over to campus and to see. But it really has been impactful for the people that have got involved. And, you know, like I say, Steve really laid a lot of the groundwork, which others did before him, and gave me that, gave me the reins several years ago to take and run with it. Now there's another group, which is good because we want other people with different thoughts and different ideas to take and run, you know, and to grow the program. And I think that's where it's hard for me because I'm so passionate about that. And that's where, you know, part of my beliefs drive me to believe that I need to do that, if you will. But it's good to see other people get involved with different thoughts or visions to where they can take and grow the program in different ways. And today, Scott White and Jim Elston are now running the program. And I'm excited to see as we head to, you know, we're in a scholarship season right now. The scholarships are open. As we continue to open up again as a country, as we have the opportunity to get on different campuses, that, you know, a lot of us will start getting out there in front of students. And talking about business aviation again. The workforce shortage, while it may have been paused for a short period of time with COVID and everything that's changed in our country, hasn't fundamentally changed. The fundamental amount of people that were leaving the industry or retiring or what have you hasn't been replaced by some, you know, COVID-related cure, if you will, for the lack of quality technicians, pilots, other business people, engineers, et cetera. So, you know, we still have an amazing opportunity for so many people. And you're right, Nathan, I do like the fact that you brought up, we were workforce development before it was cool. We've been doing this before it was a nice buzzword for so many others to grab onto. And And I think, you know, we did lay the foundation for a lot of others because we've been doing it very successfully. We just, you know, we weren't out there pushing it in relation to look at us, what we're doing. We were out there just getting it done and helping.
Because it was the right thing to do.
Because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Right. And Lord knows, I mean, like you said, I would have given my right arm, right, to have some of the coaching mentors that, you know, our committee and WCA has for these, you know, prospective aviators. And, you know, you're right about the workforce shortage. I just want to, and I know Andy will have an opinion on this too, as he and I go around and see these different shops, you know, from a couple of different lenses, but particularly from my lens as, you know, an operator or a consultant or a broker, you know, bringing airplanes in, you know, I consistently can't get into shops, partly because of floor space, right? And that's a good problem to have, but mostly because we don't have workforce, right? I mean, there's not a MRO, a reputable MRO that I know of that's not got a tile out saying help wanted for everything, right? I mean, we've got general managers and crew chiefs now using their own personal Facebook pages begging for people to come to work with them, literally, and in some great places, right? In the Southeast and in the Midwest and
in the mountains.
In the mountains, right? We've got some, you know, because I don't want to give a commercial for any of them, but they're all looking, right? And so the corporate operators, maybe not so much, right? Because they just go to the service center and get the best guy or gal on the floor and take them, and off to the races they go, and their life's fine. But man, the shops, I don't know, Andy, how you're seeing it, but everywhere I go, the shops are just desperate for people.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, we have people, we placed a couple and helped do that, but if we could have a constant stream of people looking for a job, we'd probably get out of the app business and just start doing that full time, I would say, right now. But you know, it's that, and then it's also when you go in and you hear about it's the labor efficiency too, though. It's not always the techs and the shortage. It's also sometimes the upper level that they're just not running the floor efficiently.
For sure.
So yeah, there's a little bit of a mix, but I think, yeah, it's cool to see. It's amazing. Actually, Nathan, I've been talking to somebody, you know, I think named Aaron White.
Yep.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's a recipient of ours. 100%.
Yep. So he's I'm actually going down when I get back from this Caribbean aviation thing next week. I'm going to fly down and pick him up and take him around to see some customers with me in the Myers. And
that's, you know, awesome.
See how he does. He's very, very excited.
That's great.
Yeah. That's awesome, so Andy. We'll see. He wants to get into sales, and he's got the sales background, but he wants to be in aviation more than anything, to the point of,
that's right,
you know, he'll text me every other day and ask me when I'm coming down and where we're going and all sorts of stuff. So it's cool.
He's very excited about it. You know, and he's a great example of somebody who, not unlike Jim, right, just has a passion for the industry, right? He this is where he wants to be. And he's done some incredible work, right? And somebody's going to have a great opportunity in getting Aaron on their team. Like, you know, if anybody wants to connect with him, you can reach out to me or Andy, we'll hook you up with, or Jim, and we can hook you up with Aaron. But he did this pretty interesting analysis of the market of Nashville, right? And how Nashville's growing and, you know, what that could mean for business aviation opportunity, given the footprint. And sure, there's some transientness to Nashville, right, in terms of assets coming and going, but there's also, you know, he's got a compelling argument of why some of the business aviation companies ought to look to Nashville, right? So interesting guy, right? And to your point, Andy, it's somebody that is a product of this whole engagement that Jim's talking about. And it's not just scholarships. That's certainly where we started, was just scholarships. And then we figured out, you know, we're losing these folks to go work on trains and elevators and escalators.
That's right.
So then this mentorship piece kicked in, and thanks to our friends at Gulfstream, right? They were a big part of that on the front end of the mentorship piece. A lot of the courses they were donating, and special thanks to Tim Steinhauser, who's since retired from Gulfstream, but you know, he had a vision of, hey, if we're going to donate a class and we're going to award it to a student, we should probably just engage with that person while they're in training over at Flight Safety. And lo and behold, as they did that, they found out, man, these are people that we need representing our brand, right? And so, you know, that they really were kind of on that ground floor of the mentorship piece for us. And I think that, you know, gosh, I wouldn't even begin to know how many folks we've mentored now. I mean, I think of, you know, we've had TRACS recipients or, excuse me, AMT scholarships, I think we call them now. We've had these scholarship recipients that, you know, are right out of school, you know, don't really know much, but other than this is where they want to be, that are now directors of maintenance, right? That are crew chiefs on Global 7500s that are doing all kinds of amazing things and just in a short amount of time. All right. Well, that was interesting. The aliens.
Lee, you got to it.
I know.
Oh, boy.
Try it.
No.
Yeah, there you go. The leap
All
one.
Right, I fixed her. I muted her for now.
I'm surprised they don't have somebody at the penthouse suite of the hotel you're staying in that can fix the internet for you.
I don't think there's a penthouse where I'm staying, Andy.
That is absolutely true. The Empress's suite.
Yeah.
Yes. What is it I used to call my old boss, the Grand Poobah of nothing? That's pretty much where I am right now. The Empress of whatever.
It looks like a nice artwork, though. You like the place?
It does. It's,
stay on
it does. It's
looks like very painted it.
It's very beachy.
Yeah.
Looks like one of Andy's paintings to me.
It does look like something I would do, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I was thinking about you the whole time.
I will say, Nathan, to your comments, though, the you know, when you see some of the people and the positions that they're in today from these early scholarship recipients, and it's pretty awesome to see. I mean, we're working with, and for me, so I work for Viasat today, you know, leader in connectivity and what we do. But I'm actually calling on some of these people that were recipients of scholarships as they rose through their careers and become directors and maintenance. I mean, I'm actually calling on people that are customers that I helped in the industry. And it's kind of a unique scenario, right? It's actually pretty wild to walk into somebody's office and have that. But it's also the other things that you see is a lot of these recipients, as they have become successful in business aviation and have really made their careers, they're the ones now that are helping us with other scholarships, that are helping us with students. We have a member company out on the West Coast who this gentleman was a recipient, say 10 years ago. He's now a director of maintenance, taking care of a 650. And to your point about a member company, his company had an initial that they could not use, didn't need to use. So they offered it up to us at WCA. And in this light, they also said, you know what, we want to make sure that this person who attends this course doesn't have the financial burden. And so their owners actually got involved and said, we want to help sponsor and take care of all the costs that are associated with this course for this person. Knowing the person that this is going to, this amazing lady who was a prior military member and what have you, this is a life-changing event for her. This is something that as she receives this scholarship, and she's actually going to go to training in September, it's something that will change her life, right? And the generosity, you know, starting from a recipient who received a scholarship that helped him get his first job working on Gulfstreams to gaining many years of experience, becoming a director of maintenance, and then going, you know what? We've got this course, and going and having the initiative to go to his owners of his aircraft and say, hey, I would like to donate this course, and reached out to me and we made it happen. And it's really, you know, that's the type of success story that it's just awesome to see, because it's a full circle of giving, right? From starting with helping somebody start their career to that person now going, I want to do this because this was so impactful in my life. And now they're changing lives. And that to me is, you know, that's kind of, people often ask, like, you know, Jim, why do you do this? Or why do you, you know, the amount of time and effort that goes into the scholarships is challenging. But it's, you know, you manage it like you do the rest of your life. You find time or you make time for it because it is a priority. But you do it because of the giving and the joy you get out of seeing how much you're helping impact other people's lives. And then when they start doing it, that is just extremely, I mean, beyond words for me how cool that is.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
If you want to see an example of that excitement, Jim, if you can send Nathan the link to when y'all told Lorraine that she received that scholarship. Yeah. Oh my gosh, you talk about,
that'd be awesome.
You need to send that link, because when you talk, I mean, sometimes this, you know, I guess there's a good thing of COVID. I mean, this is something that's been captured, that excitement, her face, the energy. Yeah. And you know what? Okay, Nathan, Andy, we need to put Lorraine, we'll do a live from Savannah podcast. She can call in.
Sure.
While she's down in Savannah at her training. And that would be fun. She's got a wonderful story. And I wanted
to get
that. That'd be fantastic.
And so,
And you're right, Lee. I mean, we'll throw that link of her getting that award down in the show notes, so people can go and look at it. And we'll do a LinkedIn post with this episode too, that has that link in it, so people can go watch that. Because I think understanding that impact, right, and the fact that it really does, this is an opportunity to really change lives. And I just wanted to clarify for those who don't know. So typically when your owners buy a new airplane, it comes with a couple of one or two initial training slots, right? And if your technicians have already been to training, right, let's say it's a G550, or a Challenger 650, they've already been to training on that airplane, they're already fully up to speed. A lot of times those training entitlements, as they're often called, are go unused, right? And so this is precisely what we're talking about, and where, you know, you all as member companies have an opportunity both through WCA and the MBA to make a difference, right? If you have training courses, be it pilot or technician courses, mostly this conversation is focused on technicians, certainly, but if you have courses, there are scholarships through these associations that are going to change people's lives. And if you're not going to use them, we would challenge you to go ahead and offer them up if you feel called to do so, because it really makes a difference. So rather than talk about a workforce shortage, the charge is do something about it, right?
Yeah, and we had, and it was interesting from that, we talk about the things that we do together in the industry. We get together, we work hard, we play hard, and we have a lot of fun while we're doing it. We had another member company, another gentleman that I know at a recent aviation event that might have happened in the Keys, that as I was telling him about this other one, he actually had a Falcon 900 maintenance initial in the same scenario, and we were able to award a second recipient through WCA with that Falcon 900. And it, again, it came more about just through conversation like we're having right now. It wasn't that he was thinking, he was looking at going, well, you know what, we've got this, that we're going to use it or lose it. And the lose it part was it's coming up in the next 3 months. So we quickly made a bunch of calls, and to the member's credit, he was able to get work with the organization to go ahead and have them donate that course. So another recipient will end up with another game changing type of, you know, maintenance initial. And I think it doesn't, you know, one of the things that we do talk about, you know, we're talking about a couple of maintenance initials, which are, you know, very impactful for what they are. But there's so many people for MBAA, for the maintenance scholarships that give. And, you know, it's every one of those courses, from composite courses to you name it, have made an impact on people's careers and lives. There's so many people that, you know, maybe are driven, they're engine people or something like that. And we end up with so many different engine related type courses and avionics related courses, you know, like I say, where I live, because we certainly have a need and a desire for people that are tech people, because we're lacking a lot of avionics technicians in our industry today. And there's a lot of opportunity there, but every one of these courses is valuable. It doesn't matter what they are, because they can be impactful and change people. And the other part, and Nathan, you know this very well, I've only attended, I think, maybe one or two maintenance initials in my entire career in life, even though I'm not an AMP technician. That's not, you know, what I started out in life wanting to be. I've been in this profession for a long time, but it's the people that they've met in these courses who have also, and I'll say that that's actually pretty cool. When they sit down next to a person like yourself or others in these courses, and the excitement for the people that are in the class to see a person that's still in AMP school, that's in a 2 or 4 year school or what have you, it's amazing to where they're like, wow, there's actually somebody young that's excited to be here and wants to be in our industry. Right. And they see right. that enthusiasm and they take it upon themselves. I can think of many stories of just people that are not even part of our program that have actually become mentors and helped many of these recipients start their careers that had nothing to do with the ground roots that we've laid. They've taken it upon themselves because they're excited to see new people come into the industry.
For sure. For sure. And you know, that's so true. I mean, and you know, people, we talked with Sarah Pilari and a few other people, you know, about what's the one thing you would tell your younger self in aviation, right? We've talked to several people lately about that. In fact, you mentioned Delahousse. He and I and Andy and Lindsay were on NBAA AMT Day podcast recently. And one of the questions was, what would you tell your younger self, right? And the overwhelming consistent answer is network, 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 right? Because again, you know, that's sure, credentials are the thing, and you know, that's what will get you past the gatekeepers from a HR standpoint. But the network that you have, man, it is so meaningful. And so for these young people, Jim, to your point, to get this mentorship introduction or to get this, you know, meeting these other maintenance professionals at these courses and instructors and stuff, I mean, they're just building that network. And I'll tell you, you know, you ask any of us that have been doing this for a hot second, and we'll tell you that, you know, we really don't, at the end of the day, know that much. But what we have is almost invaluable. It is invaluable phone list, right? I've got a list of folks that I can lean on. And if I don't, I know I can call Jim or I can call, you know, some of my other friends, and they'll know somebody, right? And that person will be able to help, and it just continues on. So it's so important to help these folks shortcut that, right? And go ahead and dump them in the deep end of building their network.
Does NBAA or WCA or any of these organizations, have they ever done anything with like an SBA kind of a loan type of a scenario or helping people that aren't? I mean, I'm not into the, I'll be the first to admit it, I don't really like networking. I'm super antisocial and awkward when I have to go to things, but you know, as an entrepreneur, I just grind it out, and that's just what I've been trained to do and how I was raised. And, you know, unfortunately it's the way it is, but I can tell you the hardest thing for me doing what we've been doing at the scale that we've been doing is getting, being able to pitch and get in front of people to get funding or to get an SBA loan to get started or some sort of a grant. We got one grant, but it wasn't aviation oriented, you know? And so there's a lot of people out there that I meet that are, you know, I'm not really like the maintenance consultants, but people that have solid ideas and technology and things for aviation, like a flight docs, you know, when they started. And, you know, I was just curious if they've ever considered doing anything like that, where they would do a pitch type of a thing and award some sort of anything. I mean, even services. I had services in the beginning. I was awarded, you know, $5,000 for marketing services to have somebody design our first booth for NBAA when we had to, you know, pay for it out of our own pocket and stuff to go to the show. Sure. You know, but, you know, has there ever been talk about that at all?
Not that I'm aware of, Andy. Yeah. I think AEA do something like that? AEA actually has like some type of, I'd have to look into it. Remind me, Andy, and I'll look into it. But I think AEA has some type of incubator, some type of thing where they work with business development because of their dealer network and the way they do their dealer network and the way they do the repair stations. So they've been working on helping the business side of it. But usually, I don't know if it's expanded outside of those right there. But I think, and also, and honestly, Jim, that's one of the things I was thinking about when you were talking about James, is that when you talk about the crossover and the impact, yes, James is now, he's a fancy pilot now. He's fancy. And he's about to get fancier. But he also has his own company where he does technical consulting, where he is still using his A&P. He's still using, and he's still very active on the maintenance side. And, you know, and I think honestly, the, the networking and the connection that he made with the maintenance community as part of the scholarships, and then coming back and helping. James has come back and helped so many times.
Yes.
I love seeing him when he comes back. He better be at the next maintenance conference. And we will have one someday. But I think that that was part of it, that even though he has gone over and he is pursuing his dream of flight, he's also pursuing his dream of being a business owner. And it's continuing his technical management of those aircraft. So I think that that's also something I just kind of wanted to point that out when you were talking about him earlier, is that yes, we're still keeping him in the fold, keeping him in the maintenance fold when we can.
Yeah. Well, and he's a great example though of many young people today that have, you know, he has multiple talents and he just continues to grow. But the networking piece, to your point and everything we were talking about, James and others like him, have seen firsthand when we end up going to a maintenance conference and we invite them to not only participate on the floor, but we bring them to the evening events. And many, again, Andy, I was an introvert for the better part of my life. And that's hard to believe now because I have no problem talking. You know, my son tells me I can make friends with a rock, and he's probably correct. In saying that though, it is important that we help teach these skills, because it is a skill in a sense to be able to go up and tell your story. Most of us that are in aviation, when we meet other aviation people and we see they're passionate, we'll grab onto them and just start telling our story or talking to them, what have you. It's not a hard thing. But the ability to be comfortable to walk up and tell somebody your story or tell them what you're thinking of, and that doesn't come natural to most people. Matter of fact, it's very difficult. And in a world where really the electronic piece or doing what we're doing now has become the mainstay, I think we're going to have to actually work and mentor our younger technicians and people more so as they come into aviation. We're going to have to help them with these skills that we're doing right now, or even looking people in the eye, shaking hands, doing the things that we think, well, that's just normal. Well, it's not normal anymore, and it's going to be something that's changed. COVID's kind of changed that too. Mm-hmm. There's some other reasons why that's changed, but you know, we have to work on them in the networking piece and just really showing them how easy it can be, because there's so many people that are willing to help if they're willing to ask for it.
Sure.
And I mean, and honestly, in Andy's case, Andy has one of the most interesting stories that you kind of have to pull out of him as he sits and talks about aviation and his aviation career. And he has a great aviation story. And, you know, it's like I learn a little bit more and I'm like, hey, I didn't know that. Well, why haven't you told me that before? And so how come I didn't know that? But I mean, he has a great aviation story, but at the same time, people, you know, like myself, I got a weird aviation story, if that's even what you want to call it, because it didn't start until I became an adult. I don't have the childhood side of it, but how do you talk and convey that story, but where you feel comfortable? And the networking piece, Jim, like you were talking about, I just remember giving away our first toolbox in Tyler Myers.
Yeah.
I wish we had that on video. Tyler beat. I think he actually was jumping up and down on stage. He was so excited. I think Steve had to take the microphone away from him a little bit. It's like, okay, Tyler, we love you, man, but we got to get to the next part.
But we got to get out of here.
We got to get out of here.
Yeah, this wasn't rigged.
But it's that excitement that you get to people, and it's that connecting on the personal level, because I think that's also what has made business aviation so unique. And what keeps people in it. I know we've talked about this with just about every guest is that, you know, I call it my work family. It is definitely my work family that in some places is turned into family, friends, you know, the whole nine yards. But that personal connection that Jim's talking about is what has kept it and what gives you the comfort to call Jim and say, hey, Jim, I got some questions. I don't know what to do. Nathan, Lee, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter, or whomever. And, you know, Andy, soon you're going to be getting those random calls too. We'll make sure. We'll put you on the list. Oh, yes. Anyway. Oh, yeah. But I think that's a lot of it. And the networking and the scholarships, then, you know, Jim has definitely been one of the most vocal and just a proponent and passionate person about those scholarships. But that's what keeps it going, you know, finding those people in that passion and having people who aren't afraid to go out there and talk about it. All the time. And that's what it is. I mean, doesn't matter what logo is on Jim's shirt, scholarships is on the other side. Scholarships,
it's always James.Huntoon at somewhere, right? So it's all good.
But you can count on the fact that it'll be James.Huntoon at Viasat for the rest of my career.
No, I know that. Hey, and I'm just giving you a hard time. So, Jim, you mentioned something a while ago, and this is, I guess, a very good way for us to wrap up our conversation as we're nearing our time here. But you mentioned the window for scholarships is open. So that's meaningful to me and Lee, but not to the rest of the folks listening. So how does one go about getting their application in? Where do they go? Who do they talk to? What's the process?
Sure. So for the NBAA AMT scholarships, if they'll go to NBAA.org and they can actually on the NBAA website, they'll see a scholarship link or it'll say scholarships. When they click on that, it actually opens up to all of the NBAA scholarships. So in addition to maintenance or business scholarships, there's many others besides the maintenance scholarships that we're talking about. On that website, though, they'll create a profile, and it's a pretty simple application. It literally could take, I tell people all the time when I'm doing the presentations, spend 2 hours of your life. It can actually change your life. 2 hours of your time can change your life. And Absolutely. They kind of look at you, the students do, and they kind of look at you like, okay, this person's out of their mind. What are they talking about? 2 hours can change my life. But even putting that amount of time in and receiving one of these scholarships can be impactful and change. So NBAA.org is where they will go for that, or they can certainly reach out to any of us on the maintenance committee, and you can find our contact information on NBAA's website as well. The scholarships that are open now will actually be open through early fall through September timeframe. So you have a great window of opportunity to
But don't procrastinate, kids.
Which happens on a regular basis. I will say that, yes, we see the majority of scholarships coming in the last 2 weeks of when they're actually closing out. That just tends to be a rule. Doesn't really matter what scholarships they are. That is the norm, human nature, I suppose. For WCA, we just finished our spring scholarship offering. We're actually going to be doing a scholarship presentation next week on Wednesday, June 16th at 11 a.m. and awarding those scholarships to those recipients. And then we will have a fall scholarship offering as well that'll take place later this summer, and the window will be open for 2 months. For WCA, you would simply go to WCA.org and Women in Corporate Aviation, and they would be able to find the scholarship section on that. And they simply have to be a member of Women in Corporate Aviation to apply for those scholarships. I will say, and I'll throw a plug, Lee mentioned AEA. AEA has an amazing scholarship program. They give away over several hundred thousand dollars a year in actual cash scholarships that students can use for training. They have training scholarships as well. And we're getting ready to go to AEA, which is the week of June 21st in Dallas.
We'll see you there.
First time. Excellent. That's great. And, so AEA is another organization. There are so many different groups that are trying to provide scholarships. The reality is that we have very few people that apply. And so the ones that do apply tend to be the best of the best, tend to be the ones that the people like Gulfstream would offer a position, which they have so many and have hired so many, and others. And so there's a tremendous opportunity for anybody to apply for some of these scholarships. And if you put some effort into it, if you put really, we're not going to meet all the people that apply, but it's the effort they put into it with their essays of telling us their story, telling us their aviation. How did they get to where they're at? Some people are changing careers. Some people are midlife. Some people have been raised a family and decided, I'm going to go out and be a technician now. And we see the stories are from one end of the spectrum to the other. And there's a lot of them that you read and you're like, wow, that's an amazing story. And there's others that you're like, are like me that have just wanted to be around aviation since as far as I can remember. So the opportunity is there for NBAA.org, for Women in Corporate Aviation, AEA website, their annual scholarships are on there as well.
Real quick, I just one thing before we wrap up, because this isn't something we touched on, but Jim, you touched on it real quick in your summary, is these scholarships are for people who are also already in aviation maintenance, who are trying to take that next step. Yeah. I mean, we focus on getting people in, but you know, there's also the focus on retaining the good people we have with different scholarships. Mm-hmm. And so we'll do that on another show. But I
great point.
scholarships are for existing maintenance technicians as well, who are looking for ways to expand their qualifications and professionalism. So
and just to grow. That's right. And to grow.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and it's also a way for our transitioning military professionals, right, to join the workforce and have a way in. And you know, I don't think we speak about that enough outside the committee, right? We talk about it on the committee a lot, but I think that's, you know, also something, and Lee, I appreciate you bringing it up, that it really is about keeping good people in, right? And I consider our transitioning military members already in, whether they're with us or not, right? But yep. Giving them an opportunity to join, you know, this amazing group of professionals is awesome, right? So I appreciate you bringing that up. So Andy, any words of wisdom as we wrap it up here?
No, it's a lot to take in. I think it's very cool. And I guess my only parting words would be to some of the smaller MROs that we deal with, that you got to like loosen the purse strings a little bit to recruit the right technicians, because some of the starting wages that you hear, you're going, they're going to go work at Chick-fil-A and get the same amount of money as what you're trying to pay. Yeah, so if you like, the problem is, yes, you need to do something about it, but there are some things that you can do, and it probably starts there with recruiting the top-notch people and getting them interested in, you know, coming over to the industry.
Sure. No, I think you're spot on. And you know, we have great opportunities both for mentorships, both from the mentee side and the mentor side. So there's ways through MBAA to you know, formally apply for to be a mentee or a mentor. And so I think those are ways, you know, to help folks too. But you're right. We've, you know, this workforce development piece, specifically from the MRO OEM side, is something that's evolving quite a bit. And our good friend Phil Sugley over at Duncan has spoke about that with us before. He will be speaking with us again soon. I have him on the short list to come back and talk to us very soon, now that we're kind of rounding the corner on COVID and getting back to work. So, Jim, look, man, I really appreciate you getting up early this morning, having a cup of coffee with us, and sharing all this great information. And please do send that link for Lorraine. We'll include it in the show notes. And if there's a link for this award presentation for WCA as well, that's coming up next later on, I would love to put that down there too, so our listeners can go over and watch that live. That would be super cool. Lee, any words of wisdom?
I have no words of wisdom. I have words. I don't know how wisdom. No, but no, Jim, thank you so much. And I'm going to get in touch with you. We're at my real job. We're doing a couple of things that's going to promote some scholarships and some different charitable giving here over through the end of the year. And of course, my TRACS, used to be called TRACS A&T program, is high on the list for some of those contributions. So I'll be in touch base with you.
Well, you know, it's unique. So Viasat, we ended up doing a Women Corporate Aviation Scholarship, and it's the first one that Viasat's doing as well. And it is, you know, wherever we go, all of us who are on the committee, and we'll encourage anybody that's listening to this, that if you'd like to join the maintenance committee and you feel that call to give of your time and money, effort, and what have you, we need other good people on the maintenance committee. We need other good people with Women Corporate Aviation and these other networks. And all of us who are around aviation, who actually believe that this is an amazing career. Like, I love what I do. I'm very blessed in my life that, you know, I absolutely love doing what I do. But it's, if you believe in that, then we ask of you to, you know, give of your time, your money, your help, yourself. Take the time to help others and see how impactful you can be on somebody else's life when you're willing to do that, because it really does make a difference. And even if it's just bringing somebody into your hangar, if it's showing them, taking time to see what it is that we take for granted in some ways every day. So it's been a pleasure getting up here early with you all this morning. Thank you for the opportunity as well to spread the good word, so to speak. And, you know, we'll keep at it and do what we do each and every day.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Jim. We really appreciate you. And so if y'all want to reach out and connect with Jim or Viasat and learn more about Viasat or WCA or MBAA, all those links are going to be down in the show notes. We appreciate y'all listening. And if you have any feedback, if you have complaints, they go to andy@mroinsider.com. All other accolades and ideas come to me and Lee. We appreciate it. But Jim, thanks again for getting up early this morning. Andy and Lee, we did it. We did our first morning thing. I don't know if this
is
regular, but
I like it.
I mean, it's keeping me on track, quite honestly, because right. We're all looking at what we've got coming up. So
what's coming up? All.
Yeah, we've got a million meetings today. So thank you all. I appreciate your time and I appreciate what we're doing to make a difference in the industry. Jim, thank you guys. And thanks. Special shout out to our brothers and sisters at the maintenance committee, especially. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Have a great day.
See you.